Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us once again on this beautiful summer's evening. At least it's a beautiful summer's evening in Abingdon, Oxfordshire, the UK, where I am. But I kind of think it's probably pretty much the same in most places over Europe. But anyway, you're very welcome and do appreciate you joining me this evening. Barry's at the School of Ministry in Toronto again. So he's there for the whole week. But the two of us will be back together next week. So we're looking forward to that, looking forward to being the dynamic duo once again, as we often say. I think Barry's having a good time this week. He was there last week and that seemed to go very well. I guess I'll hear more over the next few days. Just a bit of an update. I was in Poland over the weekend. I was at, I can't pronounce the city, but it was somewhere near Katowice in the southwest corner of Poland. I was in a city in that region and at a friend's their graduation weekend for School of Ministry they've been running over the last year. So it was just a joy to be with them on their final day. They've been doing it one Saturday a month since September. So it was kind of just nice to be there to do a session with them and see them receive their end of course certificates. And then I spoke in the church on Sunday morning, which was great. I had a very good interpreter. And it was streamed live to YouTube, so all very familiar stuff. But then back to Warsaw Sunday evening, plane on Monday. So a nice gentle weekend, just a couple of sessions for me, but very, very enjoyable. And of course, being with good friends was great, and making new friends and seeing the joy in people's hearts was wonderful. So that's kind of it for traveling for a few weeks. It starts again in September. But the next couple of months, I'm in and around home, which I suppose I'll get some gardening done or something like that. But we'll see. Not my greatest joy, but there we go. Anyway, this evening or today, just wanted to talk about the most excellent way. And of course, you'll recognize that from something Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the end of chapter 12, right at the beginning of chapter 13, you know, and now I will show you the most excellent way, and launches straight into 1 Corinthians 13, which of course is that wonderful passage on what love looks like. And I want to talk about that this evening. In a sense, it's very familiar. We've probably been over it many times on the webcast, but you know, it's one of those things I just feel we can't have too much of, because it's just so new and fresh every time we look at it. And Father takes us deeper, and a deeper experience, a deeper expression of love, and just that something gets planted in our hearts once again. So I just hope today is an inspiration for those of you watching, and those of you watching later, that it touches your hearts, that it takes you to a deeper place of revelation, a deeper place of experiencing the Father's love for you, and knowing that He is being a Father to you. Because that's really the only relationship the Father has ever wanted with us, is for us to know that we are His sons and daughters, and that He is being a Father to us. You know, we read in Ephesians chapter 1 that before the creation of the world, He predestined us to receive the full rights of sonship. You know, before He even created this beautiful planet and made this such a wonderful home for us, the plan of His heart was that we would live in sonship with Him in the same way as Jesus lives in sonship. So that's always been His plan. That's always been His intention. You know, we know the story of how it all went wrong. And yet the Father never rejected us. He never tried to create a plan B. He stuck with his original intention, his original plan, so that we could be brought back into that relationship as sons and daughters. And that's really the only relationship he's ever wanted with us, is for us to know that we're sons and daughters, for us to know that he is being a father to us. And so, you know, that's just what we're going to talk about today. And in many ways, it's very, very familiar to us. But I really do hope there will be something incredibly fresh for each one of us, each one watching live, each one listening to the podcast, each one watching later, that each one of us would experience again the unstoppable and abundant outpouring of the Father's love into our heart. You know, that's what I really believe he wants to do. That's what I'm really trusting is going to happen. That even as we just sit in his presence for these few moments, that we have an encounter with him. We have an encounter with love where once again, we experience him pouring his love into our hearts. You know, we say it often and it's true. The Father's ability to love us is never in doubt. It's never in question. The Father's ability to pour his love into our hearts is never questionable, but it's our ability to receive. And, you know, our ability to receive can be affected by many things. It can be affected by our day, our week. It can be affected by relationships. It can be affected by bitterness or unforgiveness that we carry around. It can be affected just by the state of our heart and everything that's going on in our life. So, you know, what we want to do today is just see some of that stuff cleared out of the way so that we are able to receive that constant flow of love into our hearts. See, the Father is pouring his love out every moment of every day. And I believe it's always abundant, it's always generous, and it's always unstoppable. And so, you know, just as you sit through this for the next few moments, just put your heart into open mode to really receive and to go deeper. You know, many of you have been walking this journey with us for many years, and, you know, there's always more. There's always a deeper expression for each one of us. And today, that's my prayer, is that we experience a greater depth, a greater revelation of who he is to us. When we were born again, when we became Christians, we were given the right to become children of God. And, you know, we have been so stuck in our orphan-hearted ways that, you know, sometimes we don't take up that right. We don't take up that right to live as children, as sons and daughters, and we get stuck in a servant-hearted mentality, an orphan way of life. And, you know, we kind of see this distant thing of living as a son or living as a daughter, and we wonder if it's ever going to be a reality. And, you know, I want to say to you, it is a reality, and it can be a reality today. And so I just encourage you to open your heart and let that unstoppable and abundant flow of love be poured into your heart right now. Because that's what the Father's doing, and that's what he wants to do for each one of us. Jesus promised that he would not leave us as orphans, but he would come to us. You know, he sees the orphan-hearted ways of our heart, and he says, I'm not going to leave you like that. I'm going to come, and I'm going to put my spirit, the spirit of sonship, into your hearts, which will cause you to walk in sonship. It will cause us to walk as Jesus walked. And I really believe that is the fulfillment or the outworking of the gospel, is when we begin to walk as Jesus walked, when we live as Jesus lived, when we become like Jesus. You know, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. That's the life of rest. That's the life of peace. That's the only way we find true contentment, is when we live in that same way as Jesus lived. And so, you know, that's for all of us. However long we've been on this journey, some of you may have been on it for many years, some of you may be, you know, fresh to this, it may be new to you, but it's, you know, there's always more. For each one of us, there's always more. There's a deeper level, a deeper revelation, a deeper expression of love for us to receive. And so, you know, that's my encouragement, is let's just receive. Let's just open our hearts and say, Father, just meet me where I'm at today, and let that unstoppable and abundant flow of love be poured into my heart. One of the verses I talk about a lot is Jeremiah 3, verse 19. And, you know, those of you who've been on the webcast for a while, you'll know this verse very well. But it really speaks to me of the Father's desire, the desire that's always been in his heart. You know, Jeremiah 3:19, I myself said, how gladly would I treat you as sons and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me Father and not turn from following me. And this verse is tragic on one level, but it's rich on another level. It's tragic on one level because the people have turned away from God. They've turned away from his fathering. They're not calling him Father. They're not reaching out to him as Father. They've turned their back on him. And that longing in his heart that I'm going to come on to in a couple of minutes, he's frustrated because he's unable to give them he's unable to pour his heart into their heart because they've turned his back on them. So it's tragic. But that's the story of, you know, humanity. Turning our back on our Father and saying, I can do it myself. I can live in independence. I'm free, you know. And we kind of think it can all be okay and we can make it all work ourselves. And we don't need a Father. We don't need God. And we carry on in our own way and we make a mess of it. You know, so this verse on one level is tragic because here's a people that are not opening their hearts to the fathering that is coming from the perfect Father. But it's rich in another sense. And I just want to focus on that richness for a few minutes. You know, how gladly would I treat you as sons? You know, what that speaks to me about is identity. He wants us to know our true identity. He wants us to know who we really are. He wants us to know that we're sons and daughters. You know, this is how he wants to treat us. He wants to treat us like a father treats his children because that's how he sees us. Despite the rebellion, despite them turning their back, he sees his people as his children. He sees you and me as his sons and daughters. And he says, you know, I really want you to know who you are. And that's kind of the starting point for what I want to say today is, you know, do we really know who we are? Do you really know that you're a son? Do you really know that you're a daughter? See, maybe you're stuck in your, you know, in an orphan-hearted mindset, a servant-hearted mindset, and you find it difficult to come to God as a father. You know, just reach out to him today and say, I want to know you as my father. I want to know that I'm your child. I want to know that I'm your son or daughter. We'll take a bit of time at the end just to allow us to have time to receive and to let the Father touch our hearts and for that revelation to come, maybe for the first time, maybe at a deeper level. But that's the first thing I believe this verse is rich in. It's rich in identity. The second thing is it's rich in us having a sense of belonging. You know, how gladly would I treat your sons and give you a pleasant land? You know, what the Father says, I want you to know where you belong. I want you to know where home is. I want you to know that there's a place called home. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 23, I'm going back to the Father and we will come and make our home with you. See, whatever the state of our life, whatever the state of our heart, the Father says, I want to come and make my home in your heart. You know, his home is in our heart. Our home is in his heart. And, you know, I just want to throw that out as a question today. Do you know that? Do you know that? Have you experienced that? That you really do have a place of belonging? See, when we know our identity as sons and daughters, when we know that we belong, that gives us an incredible security. And I really believe the Father wants his children to be in that secure place. So whatever's going on around us in the world, and, you know, boy, this world is crazy at the moment, you know, and there's all sorts of stuff going on around us. But yet our hope, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. You know, our home is rooted in eternity with him. And so, you know, his desire is that we know who we are, we know we belong. And thirdly, the third thing that is rich in this verse is he wants to give us the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. So what a father does, he gives his kids an inheritance. And, you know, a master doesn't give an inheritance to servants, but a father gives his inheritance to his sons and daughters. And we've got the best, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. This is the Father's desire. This is what he longs to do. This is what he wants to do. This is what is in his heart for us. This is what has been in his heart for all of eternity. Before the creation of the world in Genesis, it was in his heart that he could treat us as sons and daughters, that he could give us that pleasant land, that place of belonging, and release upon us the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. But it's like he's frustrated because he says, I thought you would call me father. And it's like, because the people don't recognize his fathering, it's nothing to do with God's ability to father. It's the people's choice not to receive that. Because they can't receive it, it's like that desire is thwarted, that he can't release it to them because they've turned their back on him. But if only they would turn, all of that desire can be released into their hearts. And it's the same for us. All of the Father's desire can be released into our heart when we turn and call him Father, because that's who he is. And maybe some of you have struggled calling God Father. Maybe you've never done it. Maybe you're comfortable with calling him Lord or Almighty God. But he says here, just turn, call me Father, because that's who I am. And then I'll be able to release all of the desires of my heart into your heart. You will be able to receive all that I desire for you. And, you know, just as we finish at the end, a bit later, just take time to turn your heart heavenwards. Turn your heart to your Father and say, Father, Father, Abba, Papa, Daddy, whatever you're comfortable with. But recognize who he is. It's revelation, and it's a revelation that the Father wants to give to each one of us. See, this desire that we've talked about, it's a wonderful desire. It's rich, it's eternal, it's never ending. But it's not just left there, because that desire is satisfied by a promise. And that promise we read is in 2 Corinthians 6:18. Very simple. You know, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, that's a powerful promise. You know, I will be a father to you. Those two words, to you, they changed my life. You know, we all know that God is a father. We all know that he is the father. But do you know that he is being a father to you? That's active. That's a relationship. And maybe you're in that stage where you know that God is a father, you know that he's the father, but you don't experience him being a father to you. And again, that's something you can just say, Father, here I am. I want to experience, I want to know you being a father to me. That, when that lands in our heart, that really does change everything. So we've got a desire and we've got a promise, but we've also got the assurance of his love for us, which is so wonderful. You know, it's like, it's guaranteed. It's not dependent on what we do. It's not dependent on how we behave. It's not dependent on how we feel. It's not dependent on what's going on in our lives. It's simply dependent on who he is and what he has said. And, you know, love originates in his heart. It's not dependent on us. It comes from him. You know, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, this is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, love starts with him, always starts with him. And any form of love, any expression of love, any human love that we experience, it all starts with him. Because love originates in his heart and it's poured into our heart so it might overflow out of us into this broken world. This love, it originates in his heart and we can totally, totally depend on it. 1 John 4:16, we know and rely on the love that God has for us. Why? Because God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. You see, those words, knowing and relying, they are not intellectual words. They're not words of intellectual understanding. They are words of heart experience. We know because we know because we know. We can rely on his love because we've experienced it and he's proved it to us so many times. So we can, you know, we have the assurance of his love. It comes from his heart. It's eternal. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, I think it is. Jeremiah says, on behalf of God, you know, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You know, I'm loving you right now with an eternal love. All of the love of eternity is being poured into your hearts right now. See, he is so constant. He doesn't change. You know, it says, I am the Lord. I do not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love is completely unchangeable. His love is completely immovable in that sense. And because it's so constant, we are able to rely on it. You know, it doesn't go up and down. It's not dependent on the weather. It's not dependent on anything else because it is constant, because it's who he is. It's not something that flows out of his nature. It is his nature. The very nature, personality, and character of God is that he is love. Everything he does for love. He does from love. He does with love. It's totally, totally constant. And sometimes we go walkabout and, you know, we kind of go off on our own into our own way of independence, maybe our own way of pride, maybe our own journey of fear. And, you know, we kind of feel like we've stepped outside of his love, but his love never leaves us. It never forsakes us. And so we can always draw ourselves back to that place. And if you feel you've gone on walkabout, just say, oh, Father, I'm sorry. I just want to come back to that secure place where I know I'm being loved, where I'm experiencing and relying on the love you have for me, because he is love. Everything about him is love. And all of our relationship, all of our interaction with him is through this channel or this basis of love. We have this absolute assurance of love. One of the biggest things I believe that draws us away from that central place is when fear takes hold of our heart. See, and I believe that fear is the opposite to love. You know, I used to think it was hate or anger, but I believe that fear is the opposite to love. Because John says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love because perfect love drives out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Love and fear cannot exist together. And I've got good news. Love always wins. Love is stronger than any fear you can experience. And perfect love, his love, drives out all fear. See, and when you get stuck in fear, and I know fear is very real, fear of the future, fear of health, fear of finances, fear for our families, you know, fear for the safety and security of the world. You know, fear is very, very real. But if we focus on fear, it takes our gaze away from him. If we focus on fear, we become weighed down, we become burdened, we become overwhelmed. And we need to turn our gaze back to him and say, Father, would you let your perfect love fill my heart so much that all of that fear is driven away? And if you're struggling with fear today, I just want to encourage you to just turn your eyes back on him and allow his love to drive that fear out. You see, we've got this great desire that's in his heart. We've got his tremendous promise, and we've got this wonderful assurance of his love, that it never changes. But we also have another assurance that this love is so generous. This love is so magnificent. It's just, you know, words can't describe it. You know, we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, for that is who we are. You know, he lavishes his love on us. That's such a generous word. You know, cascade, torrent, waterfall, lavish, generous, extravagant. You know, all words that describe the Father's love. It's not rationed. It's not a trickle. It's not limited. It's not dependent on circumstances or anything else. It's an incredible, lavish, overwhelming love that he pours into our hearts every moment of every day. You know, don't ever worry that you have to, you know, ration yourselves because God won't have enough love for you and the next person. He's got an unlimited supply of love for you, and he's got an unlimited supply of love for every other person. So just let him lavish his love on you. You know, just let him lavish his love on you. You know, I don't know what you like doing when you feel that expression of his love. I like going out for a walk. I like doing photography, you know, and I can just see things and I can just experience creation and I can just say, Father, this is so beautiful. Some of you might like painting, might like doing hospitality, might like writing. You know, whatever creative expression gives you life and gives you joy, it's an opportunity for the Father to lavish his love upon you. And I just encourage you to put yourselves in. You know, you might like to just sit still in a room and say, Father, here I am. Just lavish your love. Just let your generous love flow over me. Put yourself in that place where you can receive the overwhelming generosity and kindness of the Father. Because this really is the main thing. You know, Barry and I often have this little expression we say together, you know, we want to make the main thing the main thing. And for us, this revelation and experience and encounter with the Father's love is the main thing. And we want to make it the main thing. We want to make it the thing that we give priority to. And I want to encourage you guys to do the same, that this is the priority above all priorities. And Paul says at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, the second half of verse 31, he says, he's just been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, all wonderful things that we so desperately need. But he gets to the end of that chapter and he says, now listen here, guys, I'm going to show you the most excellent way. It's like chapter 13 is sandwiched between 12 and 14, which both talk about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and so on. But it's like he suddenly realized, hang on, yeah, these gifts are really important. These gifts are really valuable. These gifts are really necessary. But there's something I need to communicate that's even more important. And he said, I've got to pause, he says, between chapter 12 and chapter 14. I've got to pause and I've got to show you something that's more important than all of these gifts. And he says, and then he launches, you know, into 1 Corinthians 13, talks about love. Love is patient, love is kind, love covers a multitude of sins, bears with one another, you know. Just a wonderful expression, love is. But if God is love, then this is what God is too. And if God is Father, this is what Father is. Everything you read in 1 Corinthians 13 is an expression of the Father's heart, because he is love. Right at the end of chapter 13, verse 13 of chapter 13, Paul says, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. See, and then the very next verse, beginning of chapter 14, before he talks about the gifts of the Spirit again, he says, pursue love. Some translations say, make love your goal, make love your greatest aim. See, this is the most excellent way. This is what Paul is talking about here. The most excellent way is for us to pursue love, to make it our greatest aim, to make it our goal, to make it the priority above all priorities. That we pursue first and foremost being loved, because he is love. First and foremost, we put ourselves in that position where we can be filled and go on being filled with his love every day. See, we leak, we run out. You know, we need to keep coming back and saying, Father, fill me with your love. Pour your love into my heart. Romans 5, verse 5, we know very well, for God pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 10, verse 10, it's with your heart you're saved. And it's with your heart you're saved and believe. You see, it's our hearts that receive and contain his love. And so this is the most excellent way. Make love your greatest aim. Come to the one who is love. Come to the one who lavishes love upon us. Come to the one where we have that full assurance that he is love. That there's no fear in love, but we can come to him as his sons and daughters. You know, what a tremendous privilege, what a tremendously secure place that we can just come as little boys and little girls who just need to be loved, and take hold of our dad's hand and walk with him and let him fight for us, let him carry us, let him lead us, let him show us the way. You know, we think so often it's all about us. And you know, when we think that, God just steps to one side, because he's given us that freedom. He's given us that free will. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't take too long before it runs out and we actually realize, oh, we need him. Let's stay with him. Let's stick with him. Let's walk with him. Let's let him lead us. Let's follow him. Let's give ourselves to pursuing his presence, delighting in being loved, and letting that radical love change everything about us. You know, love transforms. Love is the most transforming power in the universe. So often we want our lives to change. So often we want to change the external things. We want to change our behavior, and we work hard at it, and we try and we try and we try, and we fail and fail and fail, and we get discouraged, and you know, we get exhausted, and we're approaching it the wrong way. We are the one, when we do it like that, we're the ones who are trying to bring change. But actually, change comes from inside. Change comes by his love becoming at home in our heart. And it's his love living in our heart that begins the work of renewing our mind. It's his love that, when it lives in our heart, it changes our attitudes, it changes our responses, it enables, it's love. It's his love in our hearts that enables us to forgive other people. It's his love in our hearts that enables us to let go of bitterness. It's his love in our hearts that enables us to have compassion for the poor and the needy. His love transforms us. And I want to encourage you to give yourselves to living in love, because that's the thing that will change your life. You know, we all get frustrated, don't we, with the state of our lives, the state of our heart, our attitudes, our behavior. And we so desperately want to be different. And, you know, many of us have probably tried so hard for years to be different and wonder why nothing ever changes. We get discouraged, we lose heart. But when we let love fill us, it will transform us. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that he's in that famous prayer of his, that he prays that we would know the width and the length and the height and the depth of God's love. And what he's basically saying is, you know, actually it's immeasurable. You cannot fathom how wide or high or long or deep it is. Because whenever you do, all you've done is minimize God to the size of your understanding. And he is so much bigger than that. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, at the end of that famous prayer, he says, "And now to him who is able to do more than you can even ask or imagine." See, even if you get a concept of how big his love is, you know, even if you get some idea of how vast it is, it goes way beyond that, because it's bigger than what we think, it's bigger than what we can even imagine, it's bigger than your wildest dreams. You know, and one of the translations, I think it's the Passion Translation, it says, you know, let us make his love our resting place, so that we rest in his love. And his love, it's like we're planted and rooted and grounded, rooted and planted in love. And it's like the roots of our life go down into love. And his love gives us all of the energy and all of the life that we need. Just like soil, so I'm told. Just like soil gives energy and life to a seed, causes it to grow. So his love gives us, as we are planted in love, his love gives us all the life, all the energy we need. And it goes beyond our wildest, biggest imagination or dreams. See, his love is immeasurable because he's loving us with all of the love of eternity. And that's the love that we can receive in our hearts. That's the assurance of love. And that's the thing that will change our lives. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." You know, that I just want that to be our prayer today, is that we are a people who say we want to remain in love. We want to be rooted and grounded in love. We want to make his love our greatest priority. Remain in love. Remain in love. That's the thing that will change us. That's been my experience. That's my testimony of these last 22 years, is, you know, the transformation and the change in my life as I've learned to live loved, as I've allowed God to be a father to me. You know, I said it at the beginning, and I just want to say it again. We all know that God's a father. We all know that he is the father. But do you know that he is being a father to you? Because when you know that, it changes everything. When you know it here, it changes everything. And many of us, I know, will have had an encounter with the love of God. Many of us have had an experience of his love for many years. And I just want to say to all of us, there's more. There's always more. And whatever our experience has been up till now, let's pursue more. As we remain in love, as we find our true home in love, let's pursue the more. So that we go deeper into this love, and it flows through us, it changes us, and it begins to reach this broken, messed up world. So remain in love. Let it change your life. You know, just keep coming back to the Father and saying, will you be a father to me? Will you be a father to me today? Will you be a father to me as I go to work? Will you be a father to me as I go shopping? Will you be a father to me as I do the gardening? Will you be a father to me as I clean the car? Will you be a father to me as I walk the dog? Will you be a father to me as I do the baking? You know, in all of these things, very practical, everyday things of life, we can experience him being a father to us. So I just want to take a few moments to just pray for us today and just encourage you to come with an open heart. I'm just going to leave the music on for a few moments. And I just want you to, whatever struck you out of what I've said, whether it's about God being a father to you, whether it's about that desire in his heart for us to turn and call him Father, whether it's about knowing that full assurance of his love. You know, God is love, full stop. Experiencing that lavish love, you know, letting his love drive out fear. Whatever you feel has landed in your heart, as I've been talking, just bring that to him and say, Father, here I am. This is the desire of my heart. And just allow him to touch your heart right now with his love. Thank you, Father. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, may we all have an encounter with your love right now. Father, would you put your arms of love around us? Maybe you just want to do that for yourself. Just put your arms around yourself and say, may these arms be your arms. That, Father, you would hold each one of us in your arms of love and you would pour your love into our hearts. Father, all the love we've ever needed, all the love we need right now, you would pour it into our hearts. All the love we missed out on, Father, as little children, as teenagers, as young adults, as grown adults, all that love that we missed out on, Father, would you just pour it into our hearts now? Would you take us into your arms and hold us close to your heart, that we would even feel your heartbeat? We would hear your voice saying to us, you are my son, you are my daughter whom I love. Father, we just want an encounter with you right now. Each one of us, wherever we are around the world, wherever we are in our journey with you, we want an encounter with you. We want an encounter with your love. You want to experience your presence. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, would you baptize us in your love right now? Father, baptize us in your love. Cause us to be soaked, immersed in your love. So that we really have an encounter with you, knowing that you are being a father to us. Because that's who you are. It's the only relationship you've ever wanted to to have. And Father, we just want to repent of our orphan-hearted ways and leave those behind and step into that beautiful desire that you have for each one of us. That we would know our true identity as sons. That we would experience that place of belonging that we call home. And that we would live in the inheritance that you want to give us. That our hearts would turn to you and we would call you Father because that's who you are. So Father, just come to each one of us now. Pour your love into our hearts. Pour your love into our hearts. Help us to come as a little child, just needing to be loved. We let go of our fear, we let go of our pride, we let go of our independence, and we'd come to you. Thank you, Father. I know we say it often, but it's the only way we can come is to come as little children. Come as little children who need to be loved. We run into his open waiting arms. It's the place of security, it's the place of contentment. And just as we finish today, I just want to play that song. You know, I run into your open waiting arms. Let go of our fear, let go of our pride and independence, but run into his arms. And just as you listen to this, just make this your prayer.
Put my faith in you and open up my heart.
Well, keep coming as a child, coming into his open waiting arms, allowing him to pour his love into your heart. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to being back next week with Barry, same time, same place. And have a good week. And the video will be online tomorrow. But if you want to watch that song and just let it be like a prayer for you, it's on my website, afathertoyou.com, and you'll find it under the section of music videos. And so if you just want to play that again and just let that soak into your heart, enjoy and look forward to seeing you all next week.